Okay, then we continue. And we are now going to the third point in my compendium, and we're going to look at the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. It is a very important kind of prayer, and I can see that actually the prayer of faith should be the first kind of prayer that you learn after you become a Christian. Because the prayer of faith is speaking about how you learn how to ask and receive from the Lord. And how does the prayer of faith work? It's very important to know that. How does the prayer of faith work? And we look in Matthew chapter 7. Maybe this is the most known scripture of prayer in the whole Bible. And I think you have read it a lot of times. But you know, even if you have heard it before, you need to hear it again. It's always like that in the kingdom of God. I mean, if you ate bread yesterday, and you ate bread today, I'm sure you're going to eat bread tomorrow too. I mean, if you were drinking milk yesterday and you did it today, you're going to do it tomorrow. Why? Because your body needs bread and milk and other things. You need to drink and you need to eat every day because that your body needs it so that you can live. It is the same way in the kingdom of God, your inner man, your spirit. I mean, if I am eating bread and I'm eating good food, I get muscles, you know. I don't have many muscles, but okay. I get some muscles. And if I eat more, I get more muscles, you know. Because my body gets strong when I eat. Your inner man is getting strong when you are eating the Word of God. This means if you have heard it before, you need to hear it again. Okay, Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone, not some of them, everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Amen. It's so easy. It's so easy. And to some people it's too easy. Because there are some people, I don't know why, but some people they want to have it a little bit complicated. So that you can be a little bit smart. But if you do, you're fooling yourself because it is so easy. You are a child. God is your father. And you say, Father, I ask this because I know you want this. And I need this. And I pray and I ask you. And it says, ask and you will receive. Okay. If you don't receive when you ask, what do? Do? You seek and you will find. Maybe there was a reason that you didn't get it. And you're seeking a little bit more. You are going a little bit deeper. Ah, this was the reason. And then you pray again and you get the answer. And sometimes there can be a spiritual force in front of you. The reason is the devil. The devil doesn't want you to have this, and he is trying to steal it from you. Then you got to knock. You got to stand firm, and you say, in Jesus' name, I take this because it's mine. And you can speak to the mountain also. Why can you do that? You cannot force God? No, but it doesn't talk about forcing God. Because the will of God is known. Only if the will of God is known, then you can do this. You knock, and it will be open to you. Because God is never standing with brakes on. It's no brakes in heaven. Do you think that God the Father is sitting with big brakes and it's breaking? Oh, they can't have too much. I must break now. No! He has an open heart. He wants to give you all. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he cares for you. The problem isn't him. The problem is us. Because we don't have faith to receive sometimes. And other times we are doing foolish things that causes that we don't receive. But this is the main point with the prayer of faith. We ask for the receiving. And this is the prayer we personally pray to receive something from God personally. In other words, if you pray, then you are the one who receives. If I pray, then I am the one who receives. Because the one who asks is the one who receives. The prayer of faith is therefore a personal prayer. Of course, you can also use it in a group. But generally, the prayer of faith is when you are standing on a promise and you are praying. You are asking God for something, a need. And he wants to give you that. He wants to answer you. We can also use it, as I said, in a prayer for other people when they agree with your prayer. Where two or three are gathering together in Jesus' name, he is there, you know, and you can pray together and you will have it. But praying for other people is generally in the Bible called intercession, and that is conducted by other spiritual principles. But the first point, how does the prayer of faith work? You ask and you receive. The other point is, when you must ask in faith. Pray in faith. Matthew 21. Verse 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You must believe. You must have faith. It is true that he who asks, he receives. But we see something more in this verse. The condition is that you pray in faith. And it lays in the word, in these words, that this is the prayer of faith. The one who prays this prayer must pray in faith with no doubting, as we read in James chapter 1 from verse 5. We can read it because we read just one of the verses, but now we can take the whole. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. This is God's heart. Liberally, without reproach. He wants to give you all, you see. And it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So you see, you ask, you will receive, but you must pray and ask in faith. This rule is not only for the prayer for wisdom, but this is a principle concerning every kind of prayer that you pray who seeks an answer. Okay, and then you say, well, I need to pray in faith. Okay, but how do I get faith so that I can pray without any doubting? I mean, if you need to pray in faith without doubting, you need to know how to get this faith. Okay, in John 15, it's very simple. Oh, the ways of the kingdom is so simple. John 15. How do you get faith? Many Christians are struggling with this. How do you get faith? It's so simple. Jesus says, John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Amen. If we abide in Jesus, and His words abide in us, remains in us, keeps growing in us, then we can ask for what we desire, and we will receive it. The word faith is not used in this word. But anyway, it says that we will have all what we ask for. And we see it very clearly, that the conduction is that His word abide in us. We must know His will. We must have a promise. We must have a word to stand on. And when we do that, we can pray in faith, and we will get it. Hallelujah. Now, what is the conclusion from this? When God's word fills us concerning the things we ask for in our prayers, this word produces faith. The word produces faith in our hearts. And when we have faith, it doesn't have to be much faith. Just as a little, I don't remember the word, but you know. Yeah, that's enough. That's enough. The secret is therefore not to perform faith, but simply to get filled with more and more of God's own word. The word of God produces faith. Therefore, eat the word and let it fill you with faith. Hallelujah. Eat the word. It's alive. It's alive. And it produces faith. Hallelujah. It makes you grow as a Christian. Eat the word. I tell you, there are places. Listen to this. This is very important. Everybody of you have a Bible. I have my Bible. I have many. I think also some of you have more than one Bible. There are places on earth that you could find 1,000 people and many more struggling, running just to get one Bible. Just to get one Bible. You have the Bible. You can read the Bible every day. You can study the Bible and you can eat the Word. Think about it. You have the Bible. You have the Word. So eat it. Eat it. Because it's life for he who finds it. And healing for all the body. It stands in Proverbs. You have read it? Amen. Hallelujah. It's alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 10, 17. Paul says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, faith comes by hearing. Okay. That means, and this is very important, many Christians have made one mistake on this point. What? They are reading the Bible. And they say, I don't need to go to meetings because I have my Bible. I don't need to be together with other Christians. I am Christian. I read my Bible. But listen, it doesn't stand that faith comes by reading. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing. And hearing again. Amen? Therefore, it's so important that you hear the Word of God. You can read it yourself and hear your own voice, but you understand what he means. He means you should be an active Christian. You go to meetings, you listen to teaching and preaching the Word that gives you revelation and understanding. God gave some gifts to the church. This is not in a compendium, but we need to have Ephesians 4:11. This is so important. Ephesians 4:11. Faith comes by hearing. And how does it work? Ephesians 4:11. And he himself, who? Jesus. Gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers like me. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, wow. This is something. But how do you get it? By sitting home, reading your Bible? Well, that's good. You should do that too. But if you only do that, you will lose. You will lose. So you need to go to a church, and in the church there are different gifts. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The apostle is the term, you see? Because the apostle can be a prophet, he can be an evangelist, he can be a pastor, and he can be a teacher. I can reach all this with this, you see? And the apostle is planting churches, and he is making a foundation and a breakthrough. This is what we believe. He's a builder. He builds a foundation, an apostle. A prophet speaks the word directly, prophetic. It can be hard for you, but you need it. Just to cleanse you. You know, you are a tree in the garden of God. And God wants to make you pure. And it takes things that is not from God. He's working with you like a carpenter. Yeah, carpenter, yeah. Amen. So that's the prophet. Pointing finger. The Lord says, you know, you can be radical, but you need it. We need the prophets. You should pray that God is rising more prophets. And then you have the evangelist, the longest finger. He's reaching out where the other doesn't reach out, in the mission field, preaching for the multitudes to be saved. And he also brings signs and wonders, healing, miracles, deliverance. And the pastor has to ring. He's the shepherd. Oh, he has love for his sheep. He's the shepherd. Hallelujah. And the teacher is a small one. Oh, you must have it. Oh, you must understand. This is the teacher, like me. Okay. So we need it in the church. We need it all five. All five. All five. Someone believe that there is only pastor and evangelist and some teachers. No. We need the prophet. We need the apostle. Hallelujah. You know Smith Wigglesworth? He wasn't just an evangelist. He was an apostle. Apostle of faith. I can mention him because he's so known. I could have said many names here, but I don't do it. But you understand, there are some apostles today. There are some prophets today. We need to listen to them. Amen. Okay, let us continue. God says that the faith is coming by hearing the word. The more you hear the preaching of the word, the more seed of faith is planted into your heart. It is important to know that the word of God is also the revealed will of God. And faith starts, as I said it many times now, faith starts where the will of God is known. You can only use the prayer of faith when you know the will of God. And you can't have faith without knowing if the things you have faith for are after God's own will. You cannot pray with faith if you are not sure if it is something that God also wants. Is it only your desire, or is it God's desire also? It's important to know. And to have full conviction concerning things unseen, like it stands in Hebrews 11, verse 1, you know, the definition of faith. To have that, you must be totally convicted about God's will concerning the situation. You must know, this is God's will. Not this, not this, not to turn to the right, not turn to the left. This is what God wants. And I'm standing on this point. I'm standing on this promise. I know this is the will of God. And I am asking concerning to this. Because the prayer of faith cannot include any if or maybe. Let me tell you. If I come to a place in your country, oh, I am a stranger. I don't know when the bus is coming. And I ask you, when do the bus come? I'm taking the bus from one place to another place. When do the bus come? And you say, oh, the bus comes 11 o'clock. Is this fate? Is this fate that you say? No, you say it because it used to come 11 o'clock. It used to do. But that is not faith. Faith is no doubting. Faith is always like this. It's always like this. You know, the human kind of faith, oh, I think it will be that way. Do you believe it will be sunny weather tomorrow? Oh, yes, I believe. Yes, you have some kind of faith, but that's human faith. But the faith of God doesn't include any if, any maybe. You know that you know that you know that you know that you know. Therefore, the Word will create a certainty of faith inside us. Like it says in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. If you pray according to His will. I have already read it, but you can read it now. If you know the will of God, and you know that He heals you when you are asking, you know that you already have what you ask for. That's the Norwegian translation. You know that you already have it. Hallelujah. Because you have faith. And this is a conviction that we already have what we ask for in our prayer. And the promises in the Bible really gives us the right to become that bold. But you will never have the courage to enter God's presence with such a boldness unless you are sure about His will. If you are not sure, you can't have this boldness. But how can we really be sure that we know God's will? Only through His Word. God's Word and God's promises are equal with God's will. God's will is here. You don't have to doubt. If it is standing here, it is for you. If it was good enough for Paul, it was good enough for Peter, it was good enough for John, it was good enough for the Old Testament prophets. The Word has always been good enough. And you can read about the results. What did they do? Great things. And greater things should be done in our time. What does Jesus say? John 14, verse 12. He that believed in me shall do the things that I do. Even greater things, because I go to the Father. Even greater things, hallelujah, it's coming a revival now. Before the coming of Christ, it's going to be a revival. And my question is, are you going to be a part of it? Do you want to be in the middle of it? It's coming in Romania, of course. It's a great revival in Romania. I read about it. In Romania, if they had money enough, this is what I read. You know the country better than me, but this is what I read. If they had enough money in the churches in Romania, they would have more missionaries than any other country in Europe. It's coming revival. And in Africa, it's a revival. In Korea, it's a big revival. Yonggi Shu is pastor of the biggest church in the world. I think it's about 1 million. That's a lot. In Argentina, in South America, it's a revival. And it's coming to Europe. We haven't seen it like the Bible promised. Not yet. But it is coming. Even to the mindly strongholds in Brussels, in Belgium, in France, and in the Catholic part of Europe. It will come, a revival. I really believe it. And I'm praying for it every day. And this is something we can really have a faith, because we know that God is promising things in His Bible, and we are standing on this. And this really gives us the right to become bold. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. You know, all the Bible belongs to me and you. You can take it all. You can take it all. All this is so important. Many Christians think, yes, but is this for me? Okay, it was for him, it was for her, but is it for me? Well, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Amen? Amen? For all the promises of God in him are yes. This means what God promised Moses belongs to you. What God promised Abraham belongs to you. What God promised James, Jacob belongs to you. What God said to David, it belongs to you. And if you go to the New Testament, what God said to Peter, to John, to Paul, or someone else of the apostles, it belongs to you. All is yours. It's all yours. You can take every promise in the Bible. It belongs to you and me. Amen. Amen. The whole Bible. Many things, for example, when Jesus prayed for this woman with this blood sickness, you know, she has been ill for 12 years. No, for 18 years. And it says, and she's just touching with Jesus, and she gets healed. And you can preach about such stories. And some people say, yes, but that was this person. That was this person. But how do you know that Jesus wants this for me? Every promise, for all the promises of God in him are yes. And if we look at Jesus, Mark 6, 56, let's just take it in a short. Mark 6, 56, look at this. It happened everywhere. It happened everywhere. Look and hear. Mark 6, 56. Wherever he entered, not only this and that. Jesus never picked up someone. He said he was looking in the crowd and said, oh, no, no, not this one, not this one, this one. That one. Never. Never. Listen. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Everyone, everybody. It was not just for some of them, it was for them all. But they need to take it. They had to touch him. And when they touched him, they received. So you see, Jesus, he gives it all. And it's for all. All the promises in the Bible. Romans 8, 32. Romans 8, verse 32. Just to make this so known and so sure that you don't have any doubt. Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare his own son, that's God. He didn't spare his son, but delivered him up for us, for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. This means if you have Jesus, you have the key to lock up, to receive all what you need. If you don't have Jesus, then he doesn't have the key. You see, Jesus is the key. He gave all things together with him, together with Jesus. So there is no room for trembling and doubt about God's will, because every promise in the Bible has been given to us in Jesus Christ. Through the reconciliation, every promise in the Bible has become our inheritance. And the words in 1 John 5:14 and 15 shows us another secret. And this is an important revelation about the prayer of faith. We already have what we have asked for in our prayer. This means that we get it while we pray and not when it happens physically. We already have it. Let's take it one more time. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Verse 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. We have it. We already have it. We know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. We have it already. You see, you got your prayer answer in the moment you were praying. You can't see it yet, but it is yours, and you have it. How? This is a secret. You get it when you pray, and not when you see it. You get it when you pray, when you ask. How? You have it in the invisible spiritual world, and it will become visible if you believe that. If you believe it, it will be yours. Hallelujah. It is something here. Hebrew chapter 11, verse 3. Maybe this is a little bit deeper, but try to follow this. Try to understand what's standing here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. It was first invisible. It was there. But by speaking, it came physically. God says, let there be light. God said, let there be a firmament. God said, let there be animals on earth. God spoke and it happened. And it's the same way when we pray and when we ask in faith. When we speak, because God has said it in his word. And I say it again, we must know his will. And if we have a promise, for example, of healing, by his stripes we are healed. Okay, you can stand on that word. And when you say, I receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name, it is mine. I put my trust in this word and I receive it in Jesus' name. Okay, you may not feel it, not yet. You may not feel anything in your body, not yet. But it is yours because it is standing in his word. You are standing on it. And by faith, you are transforming this miracle from the invisible spiritual world to the physical world, and you will have it in your body. You understand? This is faith. Faith. Therefore, faith is very important. Many Christians make mistakes here in this point. They used to say, I can't believe that I have something before I can see it. I have to see it before I can believe. But the Bible says that we live by faith and not by sight. Amen? We live by faith, not by sight. So it's very important. Take the promise. Believe the promise. And pray according to the promise, and you will have it. You will see it later on. The Those people who want to see it first, they won't get what they wish or what they pray. Because faith is now. Mark 11, 24. Faith is now. Mark 11. This is very important. Hope is for the future, but faith is now. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 23 and 24. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, oh, this is important, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Amen. What a promise. Let's take it one more time. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And I say you, in the Greek, you know, this is translated from the Greek. And in the Greek Bible that this is translated from, in King James, you know, King James is translated from the Greek. There are different translations because they have different main texts. But the general one that they always used is the old Textus Receptus. This is the old text that they always used. And the King James Bible from 1615 is translated from this old text. And there came something in the middle of the 19th century. They found other texts and they began to write other translations. And then the liberal theology came. And this has been a curse for the church. But the old Bible says, for example, in this verse, it says in verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have them, and you will receive them. You already have them. I mean, you can follow what stands in your Bible. It's no problem. Do that. But this means when you put your faith in it, it's happening in that moment. Let me tell you a secret. When did Mary, you know, the virgin Mary, when did he be In what moment did he be pregnant? In the moment after the angel spoke, she said, let your will be done. In that moment it happened. She had it. But it took time. Of course it takes time when you got pregnant. But it's the same way in the spiritual world. When you say, yes, Lord, in faith, and you believe it is yours. But it takes time also in the spiritual world. It's the same way. It takes some time. But it is already yours. It is laying for you invisible in the spiritual world. And when you put your faith in it, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Mm. So believe that you already have it and you will receive it. Here is the very secret about faith. If we can believe that faith speaks about things unseen, like it is seen. Did you get this? Faith speaks about things unseen, things that we not see, like it is seen. God did that. There was no light. God spoke about light, and the light came. There was no water. There was no heaven and sea. But God spoke and it were delivered. The heaven and the sea. There was no sun and moon, but God spoke and it stood there. It was unseen. But faith is that you speak about things unseen like it is seen. Hallelujah. If we understand it, we will understand why God could call Abraham the father to many people already while he had no child. He didn't say, you will be. He said that too. But he also said, you are the father. You are the father. Because in God's heart, it was already there. I mean, in God's heart, before the world was created, God saw through the corridor of history, and he saw the cross on Calvary. And in God's heart, it was already there. Therefore, God was never nervous. When the devil did many stupid things, God was never nervous. No! He had seen it, and he had placed it. There it will happen. And he will pay the price. And God had it. It was not whistle, not yet. But God had it, and it happened. You see, this is faith. You can talk about things that doesn't exist, like it do exist. For example, you can say, by Jesus' stripes I am healed. He bore all my sickness and diseases on the cross. And this healing is mine, even though I feel pain in my body. If you talk like this, you begin to act like Abraham did. You talk like God said, even though you can't see or feel anything yet. Romans 4, 16. This is important. Romans 4, 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And how could he be that? Listen. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who he believed, God, he gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Here it stands. God calls things which do not exist as though they did. And that's why it comes to pass. God speaks about it and it comes. And this is what he wants to show us and teach us. We are his children. And when we begin to act in the same way, we speak about things that God shows us in his word. Oh, we begin to speak about it in faith. And it will be. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Amen. He trusted in the Lord, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Amen. Do you understand? Abraham put his trust in the word of the Lord. It had not come to pass yet. I mean, Abraham could look at his body. And he could get depressed because 1 year, another year, third year, many years, nothing happened. And his body became weaker and weaker and weaker. And he could look at his wife. Oh, it's worse with her than me. He could. But he didn't. He chose to focus on the promise.